Show.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Good to be with you. Off of last night's Alfred E. Smith dinner, I watched the whole thing, and I watched it on YouTube, so I didn't watch it in clips. I actually haven't watched any clips on the event. I just took it in as a whole last night, and I have to say it was pretty an interesting thing to watch. It's good to be with you this Friday. The YouTube live chat poll for today is, do you think Donald Trump is funny? And we have the Alfred E. Smith dinner from last night. If you're unfamiliar with it, you probably heard about it by now today. But if you're unfamiliar with it, it is a Catholic fundraiser that is of great and high tradition. Each year, they do this fundraiser, big dinner, and it's a roast of sorts. The dais up there had three rows of some of the most wealthy people in politics, but also kind of intersected with Catholics in New York City and all of that, New York, the state. And in an election year, it's customary for the presidential candidates to participate in this event. And Donald Trump took the podium last night, and Kamala Harris recorded a video and sent it in. And as you've probably heard, Donald Trump did allude to this last night as well. The last person who skipped the Alfred E. Smith dinner was Walter Mondale. And that ticket won Minnesota. And I'm just saying.
They did well in Minnesota.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, they had a good Minnesota
Walter
year.
Walter Mondale was from Minnesota.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the only state he won, isn't it?
How much? Yeah. He lost 49 states. I don't know that this is going to happen. I don't even know that Donald Trump is going to win. I feel good about it, and I hate that I feel good about it. I can't think of a godforsaken reason to vote for Kamala Harris.
Joy?
Nope.
No.
That ain't it.
Okay.
Watching Kamala Harris talk, and I'm going to play this video in a little bit here, but watching Kamala Harris talk at the rally that she was at the other day, she big mad. She is not a happy camper.
I saw that.
She's not joyful. She's very upset. How much of the dinner, what have you consumed, Ryan? How versed are you on what took place?
A lot of clips. I watched a pretty good amount of the Jim Gaffigan stuff, a lot of the Trump stuff.
Did you take it in clips, or did you take it in
as
in a
clips.
Whole?
In clips.
It's better in clips.
Is it?
Yes, because anybody who stands up, the biggest reason I wanted to watch it in full was because I MC things like this on a much smaller scale. This is huge. It doesn't really get much bigger than this when it comes to fancy dinner fundraisers that involve politics and causes. This is A-list, A1 territory. So I kind of wanted to watch Jim Gaffigan, who was the MC host, which is generally speaking in an event like that what I do. I'm just trying to keep the trains running on time. But he's also there to speak a little bit, to do his jokes, you know, lighten it up. Made fun of rich people a lot. The dude, his net worth is $40 million.
Yeah. I've been to his hometown in Indiana, too. He comes from some humble background.
He comes from Elgin, Illinois.
Oh, I thought it was right across the border. I was getting confused.
Midwest.
Yeah.
You can tell. You can tell that he's a Midwesterner. I've told this story before, but when my husband and I are in Florida, Central Florida, and we're sitting at like the outside, the nice malls and stuff that they have out there, we just like to sit and people watch, and we play a game called Midwest or Nah. And we just look at people and we're like, Midwest. And then the other person will be like, totally or nah. Jim Gaffigan, you see him walking around Disney Springs, you're like, Midwest.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's got the tennis shoes and the socks and the
shirt tucked in,
shorts
the belt.
With all the pockets just in case of an emergency.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jim Gaffigan told jokes that bombed. He told jokes that didn't go over well. But the question is like, who's he trying to entertain? The people who are going to consume this, just like a debate afterwards in TikTok videos and YouTube shorts and on your Instagram stories or whatever you do on Instagram. Is that what he's doing? Or is he trying to really get the room to come together 17 days out from an election, 18 days out from an election? I think he was doing a little bit of both. But I did find it funny. I'm just sitting there listening to him talk about the rich people who are in the room. And like he was like, everybody is here tonight except for the middle class. And I'm like, how much is this dude worth? 40 mil. That's what the internet says. Even if the internet is inflating that, It's still not the life, the middle class lifestyle that I'm presuming that the three of us know. So Donald Trump eventually takes the podium last night, and when he does, he delivers some zingers that didn't get much of a reaction in the room, but I don't think these people still know what to do with Donald Trump.
Yeah, that was interesting watching the room. Like, it was like they wanted to be friendly and having fun, and they're like, but I'm on camera. I don't know what I should do here, because that was a funny joke.
One of the things that Gaffigan said was so funny to me was he was talking about the way the room was set up, because, like I said, there were three rows of rich, wealthy people that were a part of the conversation or part of the like featured area of the evening. But the front row, which included people like Roger Goodell, Brian Kilmeade was off a little bit to the side. So he had a little bit better of a vantage point. But Roger Goodell, Michael Bloomberg, Robert Kraft, these people were sitting like directly in front of Jim Gaffigan. And he's like, did you pay more money to have to not look at me? But they're just sitting in front of him, looking out into the crowd like you can't see the main event. The person who is supposed to be like the entertainer, MC of the evening, they couldn't see him. So you pay a lot of money to go there because it's a fundraiser. And some of the most wealthy people in our country are just sitting there in front of him looking out among the
people. You know, this event has been referred to as the Catholic Met Gala. 22% of Americans identify as Catholic. Catholics will be a key demographic in every battleground state. I'm sorry, why is Vice President Harris not here? I mean, consider this. This is a room full of Catholics and Jews in New York City. This is a layup for the Democratic nominee. I mean, in her defense, I mean, she did find time to appear on The View, Howard Stern, Colbert, and the longtime staple of campaigning, the Call Her Daddy podcast.
The way he says that, Call Her Daddy, like it's so not something he clearly listens to. But he's right, and he's right to call her out. And I think it's good that is what is actually happening, that they are pointing out the fact that Kamala Harris is missing tonight, missing in action. Here's more from Jim Gaffigan.
The media has begun discussing the phenomena of secret Trump voters. I don't know if you've heard about this. People who publicly say they would never vote for Trump, but then when they go in the voting booth, they do. It's a small group. They're called the Biden family.
Good joke.
I mean, these are good jokes.
These are good jokes. I've got so many clips here, and I want to go through the best of the best, but what I really appreciate is that whether you like what Donald Trump had to say last night or not, he was willing to show up and deliver the speech that he's supposed to deliver there, which is supposed to be filled with jokes. It's a roast of sorts. But he also took a lot of shots, some pretty dramatic shots. Even Jim Gaffigan had there was a phrase about they're eating the cats and eating the dogs, and I'm going to just talk really high over the top of this one. But Jim Gaffigan made a comment about the second time that cats were a big part of Donald Trump's campaign situation. I mean, this and Melania is sitting right there. Donald Trump sat there and he took it, and he had a wide smile on his face, and he'd do his little eyebrow raise thing, tilt his head to the side, nod his head like, okay, I see what you're doing there. But he took it, and you know that he can. Kamala Harris put together a video where Molly Shannon, why didn't they get Sean Astin and Rudy to come be a part of this? I mean, like, you want to talk about the Catholic of Catholics. If you want to get Molly Shannon and the Catholic schoolgirl weirdo character that she does in there to speak, like, to me, it's more proof that the Harris campaign has no idea who you are. They do not know how to speak to you. They do not know what you like. They do not know what you care about. And they don't have the time or consideration to look into it. Catholic thing. What kind of Catholics do we know? Get Molly Shannon in here. Superstar. That's from like 1993 or something crazy like that. That's the closest reference you could. I'm surprised they didn't have Britney Spears come in her school little outfit and be like, hit me, baby, one more time, Doug. I just don't understand why you have Molly Shannon and the Catholic schoolgirl come in and speak for her. And then she's like, the Alfred E. Smith dinner is a big deal. Thank you. And that was it. Like, what a failure to launch Kamala Harris is.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I watched that whole skit of Kamala Harris that they taped. It wasn't Kamala Harris doing any comedy. She was just reacting to Molly Shannon. And I have to say, like, while I hated that sketch, I also hated that sketch when it was on SNL. So
really?
I'm a little biased. I thought that was one of the worst characters Saturday Night Live ever ran with, let alone that they made a movie out of it. I'm like, really? This character is annoying from sketch one. I can't believe they've given that character that much life. And then to make that the only joke that Kamala Harris was willing to participate in, it just... Man, it's so disappointing. I'm more disappointed in the state of comedy than I am in the state of politics when I watch that.
It's important to know that this is Donald Trump's third time speaking at this dinner, that he's had a lot of good moments that have led up to this. And the person who kind of is running the show there last night was sitting immediately screen left of the podium where Donald Trump was sitting, talked about how Donald Trump always knows the assignment, basically, and says that he has done such a good job in the past. This is from the first time that Trump was at the Alfred E. Smith charity dinner, and he was speaking alongside Hillary Clinton, who was seats away. Because that's how this works. That's how it's supposed to function. Seats away from Donald Trump at the
moments
time.
Together, which is true. I have no doubt that Hillary is going to laugh quite a bit tonight. Sometimes, even at an appropriate moment. And even tonight, with all of the heated back and forth between my opponent and me at the debate last night, we have proven that we can actually be civil to each other. In fact, just before taking the dais, Hillary accidentally bumped into me, and she very civilly said, "Pardon me."
And I mean, if you're watching this video when she says that, Hillary is belly laughing.
Yeah, she's losing it.
She's two people away from Donald Trump. And they're going back and forth. And Hillary got up there and threw the barbs right back at Donald Trump. And everybody was doing this. They were raising money for a good cause. And that's First Amendment stuff. That's a huge American flex to be able to do that. And for some reason, the other candidate in this race doesn't understand that or is incapable of it.
Yeah, not to mention that this is Donald Trump's territory. I mean, before he ever ran for office, he would go to events like this in New York all the time. He was actually the subject of a Comedy Central roast. This is not unfamiliar territory for him. So it's very natural that he's up there telling a couple jokes. These are the people that he knows. I mean, this is New York. Yeah. So the fact that Kamala wouldn't go into the room... Man, it just shows, like, this is supposed to be a room that knows her, but they actually know him, which shows you the disingenuousness of when they go into the media and they say all these things, and then they rub shoulders. They've been knowing this guy for years.
You can tell when you were watching this event last night, you could tell that people were not happy that Kamala had skipped this event. You could tell that they were... very much so, not okay with the idea that she opted out. And, you know, schedule conflicts, this, that, and the other thing. You could tell that they weren't buying what she was selling in that regard. Not at all. And I think it's important that Catholic people who are voting Catholics and their Catholicism is the lead thing that they factor in. She didn't show up. Not only did she not show up, when she tried to speak to Catholics, Molly Shannon was her thought. And if it wasn't her thought, it was somebody's thought, and she had the wherewithal to say, yeah, that'll work for me. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we hope we're going to connect here with Tyrus. His schedule is crazy busy. Usually he's a Thursday guest, but he had a big deal yesterday. He was otherwise inclined.
Smith dinner last night. Probably didn't get home until 1 or 2 in the morning. And
you know what else I did?
And then you're here.
What? I got in. Okay, this was a crazy day. We did your thing. I did 5 other things. And then on top of it, I came back and I was really, really like tight because I'm the keynote speaker at the House. Yeah. So what happens is I said, let's go. I want to go. Sir, you have an interview with Tyrus. He's a large guy, by the way. Yeah. He's a great guy. And he's a very smart guy.
He is great.
And he's been so good to me. And he said, listen, there's no election here. You're going to win this thing in election. And he's been saying that for a while.
Yes, yes.
Whenever they talk about it, he's funny. Whatever, and Gutfeld is great. You know, he didn't like me originally. And then he said,
well, I don't like everything Gutfeld, done. But you can like him.
Do you not like me?
Yeah, no, they, he
no he's great.
Him,
yeah. But he had the
they're
highest,
like brothers.
He had his highest rating in the history of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're proud of him.
But Tyrus, he has a website. And he said, would you do my show? So like 2-3 weeks, I agreed. So I came home. I'm running because I'd like to at least see my speech, you know, like before I get up before all these killers. And I'm running and Sir Tyrus is waiting for you. Oh, oh. And I have to put on a tuxedo. In theory, white tie, but a lot of people didn't have white tie. But
so Tyrus speaking this morning about being on the Tyrus, maintaining with Tyrus on Outkick yesterday and happened to take place during our show. So we said, why don't you come on with us Friday? He said, okay. So we're going to talk to Tyrus when we come back about that experience of interviewing the president yesterday. What an honor. We'll have Tyrus next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So we are here in the home stretch. And this is going to be a tight race until the very end. And we got this. I see you. And reality check, we are the underdog, okay? And that's why I'm here with you and you are taking the time to do the hard work that is necessary. It's why I'm campaigning for every vote, because I want and intend to be a president for all Americans. And no matter their political party, where they live, or where they get their news, okay?
The majority of people get their news from Fox News. I couldn't help but notice this is just a really bizarre a post. You know Roland Martin?
No.
You're not familiar with Roland Martin?
If I saw him, I don't know.
You'd recognize him on CNN. He saw a post that's from a Chris Evans, who says he's not Captain America. He's a liberal influencer on Twitter, whatever. Kamala Harris's appearance on Fox News garnered the highest ratings the network has seen in 4 years and her most viewed television interview of the entire cycle. Roland Martin, who is a wild lefty, his Twitter profile says host of the Roland Martin Unfiltered Daily Digital Show. He's on CNN with regularity. He tweets in all caps, "Booyah."
Okay.
I can't get over this. Booyah. Says, "Take that, Megyn Kelly, Will Kane, Joe Concha, Buck Sexton, and the rest of you Trump MAGA lackeys." So he's like dancing around about the success of the Kamala Harris sit down with Bret Baier on Fox News. To which Joe Concha, this is how it came into my Twitter feed, said, "Roland thinks this is a good thing for his candidate, who by any objective measure performed horribly before 7.1 million people watching live." The constant disparaging of Fox News as some place where, like, the heathens go to get their news. When will they understand that the majority of people go to Fox News because they trust... Let me put it this way. They know what they're getting from Fox News, and they get it from both sides. You know that when you tune into Sean Hannity, you're going to get Sean Hannity's 7 approved phrases.
Like George Carlin.
But you're going to also get, you know, during the news segments, you're going to get people who throughout the day are reporting on news in a very direct way. And you're also going to get lefties who are going to come in and manage to deliver their point. Like, I think about Jessica Tarloff, who I don't particularly enjoy, but I do respect people like Jessica, Juan Williams, Harold, what's his last name?
Ford,
who are on the five in that one chair. They've got one job, and they show up every day, and they do it, and they make points, and I like to hear their points, because I often hear their points and go, that's not the point you think it is. But that's what the left is presenting. And then I tune into CNN or MSNBC, or I see some of the comments that are being made there, and I think to myself, they're making the same points that are being made as the left on Fox News. And I'm just thinking, you don't have enough. On the converse of that, though, when you tune into the CNNs and the MSNBCs of the world, I'll give Scott Jennings a lot of credit, because he's Lonely Scott over there, Lonely Jessica on Fox News and the Five, whatever. There's such an assault and an affront against people who think like we do. And I would not consider ourselves to be radical. They certainly seem that they would. But it's so foreign to see people who think differently than they do that they don't take it seriously as an alternative way of thinking. I feel like Fox presents the idea that this is the direction that this network is heading in, but we know that other people think differently, and we want to showcase that as well, because our side of the aisle, at least our way of thinking, isn't afraid to go up against it. You certainly don't get that on MSNBC, and I feel like MSNBC completely knows their lane. CNN kind of dabbles a little bit, but even now, even these days, CNN is not successfully making the case that Kamala Harris is the candidate.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you see people criticizing Fox News for being MAGA, you have a very short-term memory for how much criticism they've gotten from the 2020 election, so many other things. I would not say Fox News is even close to MAGA, but they are the only network that Kamala Harris has gone on in this entire presidential cycle that would be considered adversarial in any way, which is why people tuned in to watch it, because they want to see, is she capable of doing an interview with non-friendly media, because she hasn't done it.
When you say Fox News isn't MAGA, I would agree with that, but they don't disrespect the idea of MAGA.
No.
Like, they understand that that is a way of thinking. I think that they're, generally speaking, a fiscally conservative leaning Fox Business. You could certainly consume that there. CNBC ends up being somewhat the same too when I watch them, because good sense is fiscal conservatism. But there are people who are on the Fox News network that are very MAGA people. And they bring folks from both sides of the aisle in order to have those discussions. Whereas, I mean, if you, like Joy Reid, when she talks about MAGA people, I mean, she talks about Hitler with regularity. She's very much convinced, or considering it worthwhile to convince her listeners that Donald Trump is equitable to Adolf Hitler. And that's psychotic. Like, that is a Looney Tunes way of thinking. And it's an average Tuesday for that network. When you have a Roland Martin come on and like try to flex on the fact that everybody tuned into Fox to see Kamala, what more proof do you need that she should have been doing Fox News this whole stinking time? That she, if she wanted to be seen by people, and I would contend that they didn't want her to be seen by people, if they want her to be seen by people, go on Fox News. But now the question is, do you think that that Fox News interview with Bret Baier went well for Kamala Harris? Because if you are unsure of that, do you want 7.1 million people to have consumed that 20 days before the election or whatever it was? I just don't think this is the flex that you think it is.
Yeah, the 30% of people who watched Joe Biden and said this guy is on his game loved that interview, but they'll love anything that anybody on the Democrat side does, and they're the loudest people. What that interview is attempting to do, because she's now reaching out to more and more people, apparently in some sort of strategic shift, she's trying to reach more people because she thinks, I need this. I need those middle ground people. Does that interview, we all watched the whole thing, does that interview reach out to middle ground people who probably did tune into that interview? If you're undecided or you're on the fence, maybe you're just going, I don't know if I want to vote in this election at all. Maybe I will. I'm going to watch this.
I think that's the undecided voter right now.
Does that person watch that half hour, not even, with Bret Baier and Kamala Harris and go, yeah, she really did change my mind?
No. I think there's a lot of convincing. Every time she has the opportunity to go in front of the American people, she is more of, she's consistently Kamala Harris. And we know that now to be somebody who is programmed to be as much as she can to everybody on a very surface level. Let's take a quick break. The B or Not the B. Will we come back with Ryan Wiggins? So don't go away. In Wiggins America, one of our favorite games that we play all week, you can help us decide, is this headline real or is it the Babylon Bee? With Ryan Wiggins next.
Putting on a red.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
The B. Or not the bee.
We don't want to keep you waiting. We're going directly into the bit here.
Just a little inside information. We've talked about this before. When I click sound to play, it takes somewhere between 2 seconds and 10 seconds for that sound to start playing. So I gotta guess. I guess
you know
wrong.
It's just one of those things. Like at in a radio environment, you know, you just hope for just some consistency. Mm-mm. And you really don't know.
No consistency.
But I
Let
guess
me
that's
tell
what
you
makes
what.
It fun.
There is no friggin' consistency here. None to be seen anywhere. We are flying by the seat of our pants.
Always. And hey, it's live. So thanks for being here at 12:44.
Yeah.
We have the B or not the B here. This is something we do every Friday during Wiggins America. I take a bunch of stories. Some of them are real headlines. Some of them are from the Babylon Bee, which means they are satire. I read the headline. The room decides whether they think they are the bee or not the bee. And then I let you know whether they are real. Here is the first one. Nazi reenactors shut down Massachusetts restaurant.
That could be real.
Did you say reenactors?
Didn't
we have some people in St. Louis acting like Nazis here recently?
Oh, this missed my radar.
Weren't there some people dressed up like idiots on a bridge somewhere?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, I think I remember what you're talking about. It's like on an overpass.
Yeah, I hope I didn't make that up, but it's believable to me.
That would be great if we looked this up. There was no such story. And you're like, weren't there some Nazis on a bridge?
Somebody told me that. I saw it on Twitter. That means it's real.
I'm going to say it's real, too.
So, Michelle is saying Highway 64, so I don't
know. Okay, Highway 64.
What are you saying here, mister? Yeah, real? Real?
Yes, it's too specific to not be real. Nazi reenactors shut down Massachusetts restaurant. Now, that's the headline from Vice, leans left. Here's the story. A group of historians from the American Heritage Museum went to the restaurant, which is called Kith and Kin, for a meal on Saturday night.
With a K.
Four of them. Yes, actually, it's two
That's
Ks.
That's pretty close.
Yeah. Four of them were dressed as American soldiers, one as a military nurse, and two as SS soldiers.
Were they going for lunch?
They had just come from a reenactment.
Dude, if you're going as a Nazi somewhere to reenact it, you gotta change when you leave the reenactment. It does not carry over. You can't wear the costume anywhere else ever.
So
you
they,
can't
yeah.
do it.
The American soldiers, they were still in costume. The military
That's
nurse,
allowed.
She's still in costume.
Okay.
The SS soldiers,
not
also
okay.
still in costume.
Not allowed.
No.
The restaurant has found itself in trouble after the staff served the World War II reenactors.
Now, should they have just served some of them?
It's a good question, but here's where it starts
me, sir,
to
could
turn.
You please take your Nazi costume out of our restaurant and just change.
Yes, and then just screaming in German, and they storm out.
Nine.
Kith and kin. That means that no. That's they were going to just sit there though. Kith and kin has temporarily closed now though, after several threats and backlash at their serving World War II reenactors.
So hold on a second. Just so we get this story completely clear, these aren't people who were like protesters who were appropriating Nazi culture because they believe in it and they wanted to spread it. They had gone and participated in a reenactment that
at some historical, like well-known historical society.
I would assume celebrated the actual end of World War II.
Yes.
In an appropriate, they didn't like revise the story, and then they were hungry, so they went out to eat
at Kith and Kin.
So, yes, dumb move. Change your clothes.
Yes,
but also at the same time, weird situation to be in.
If you're a server, you go, can you guys change just these two outfits?
If the person who is being, who is, I would assume that they looked like they were white people who were in these costumes.
I would assume.
Do we live in a time that is so stupidly woke that you're like, I don't know if I can discriminate against them?
I have no idea.
You can discriminate against Nazis, people. That's a yes.
Here's the thing that's awkward about this story is that now they're... The restaurant has closed because people were so mad that they threatened, and they were threatening the restaurant. So they wanted to get rid of hate, and so they're hating the restaurant so much that they're threatening them.
Well, here's another question, because we don't know the answer to this, but does this restaurant have a reputation?
Say it again?
A reputation.
No, because...
Is there context here that we don't have that suggests that this restaurant has been politically active? You know, we could have a fight over whether Nazis are too far to the left or too far to the right. Sometimes they wrap around and meet on the other end. But if a restaurant has some sort of reputation and you're like, now they've got Nazis in there,
yeah, right,
then maybe the context is what got you in trouble. I don't know.
I read several stories because what I do when I find a real story like this, I read several of them to find the one headline that sounds the most like it could be the B.
Yeah.
And so I read several of these. There was nothing in there that, oh, this restaurant has kind of a reputation.
Do you feel bad for the restaurant?
I think we do feel bad for the restaurant because they're just trying to serve food and they got caught up in the middle of something.
I feel like if you're a server and you see American soldiers, a World War II era nurse, and two SS soldiers walk in and sit down to eat together, you would get the idea.
Like,
these must be...
It's like a joke.
Yeah, this is the beginning of a joke.
No.
Two SS soldiers and four American World War II soldiers and one nurse walk into a bar.
Walk into Kith and Kin.
Walk into Kith and Kin. All right, so that one was real. Next one, Kamala Harris announces...
Wait, can I say one more thing
on
that?
Yeah, please, please.
Isn't this just an instance where people need to explain what happened? And if what happened was... For the person who's wearing the Nazi stuff to say, I regret wearing that. I should have changed. And for the server to say, I didn't know what to do. I decided to serve him, and I wasn't really 100% sure. I don't agree with Nazi stuff. And well, for the restaurant to come out and say, this was a really bad situation, and we wish it wouldn't have gone there. We're sorry if anybody was upset by this. This is what we stand for. This is what we don't. And then everybody moves on with their life.
That is actually exactly what the restaurant did. And they still can't reopen. It's just like, just understand and get over it. Move on with your life. Kamala Harris announces all new original book, The Art of the Deal.
The B.
The B.
Ah, you guys got this one. Man, you're good. Many people know my history as a fearless and highly competent prosecutor who has only ever hired for my competence. But few people are aware of just how much I know about New York real estate and negotiating huge deals. Now, finally, there's a book covering this subject. I'm such a great author, am I right? That is the Babylon Bee.
Okay.
All right, next one. Washington Post gives entire staff off day off to mourn loss of Hamas leader.
The bee.
That is the bee, yeah. According to mid-level Washington Post editors who spoke under condition of anonymity, all of the staffers, writers, and editors had managed to drag themselves into work, but were simply too dispirited to do anything more than a few half-hearted tweets critical of Trump and J.D. Vance.
Man, I'm not prepared to say, you know, Donald Trump's going to be victorious here because I don't want to jinx anything as if jinxes actually exist. But are some of these people going to be okay if he does?
No.
No.
No, no, no.
Everything around them in their life will be better.
Yeah.
And they'll be more miserable.
There's a solid quarter of this country that's not going to know what happened on November 10th once we actually get the results in. A little extra joke there for the people. The Kelce brothers' new cereal is a breakfast love story, and we're saying yes.
That's real and sad.
It's got to be real, isn't it?
It is real.
Oh, no.
It's some food network blog or something. It says, football season is just a few days away. This is a couple weeks ago. And if you've been missing seeing the Kelce family, name all over your social media, don't fret. Both Travis Kelce and older brother Jason will soon be at the breakfast table with you. The Kelce brothers have collaborated with General Mills, the company behind classic cereals like Cocoa Puffs and Trix, to create their own Kelce Mix brand of cereal. This cereal combines Lucky Charms, Reese's Puffs, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Of course, being that the new cereal is actually just a blend of some old classics, there's nothing stopping you from making your own Kelce Mix.
Thanks for the permission.
You're welcome.
These guys.
Next.
Milking it for everything they got. I don't blame them.
I don't either. Oops, we meant to say up, explains FBI after months of saying crime is down.
Go on.
In his opening remarks, Director Ray said, here's the problem. This is real, but that the quote is not true. So this is the B.
It's the B.
Yeah, this is the okay, B. Yeah, yes. This is the B. But this is a fact still.
The FBI never meant to say up.
Okay.
They didn't mean to say up.
Okay.
They had to reluctantly come back and say, oh, sorry, crime.
Yeah.
Ope.
Ope. In his opening remarks, Director Ray said, oops, we meant to say up. Crime is up. It is not, as previously stated, down. It's possible we've been holding the chart upside down for the past several months.
Who knew?
Our bad.
Donald Trump knew. Who didn't? David Muir. Did he know or did he not know? We knew that Trump knew.
It's a good question. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said it could happen to anyone, remembering the many times she herself had looked at charts and graphs upside down. I move we dismiss the director and conclude this hearing. Representative Thomas Massey was seen burying his head in his hands. Witnesses claim to have heard him muttering, I'm surrounded by idiots.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
In conclusion, up, Director Ray said, concluding his remarks, crime is up.
Oh, so sad.
It is sad.
People understand that the reason why the numbers were reported to be down is because the big cities just didn't report their crime.
Yeah, and the question is, did they just start reporting crime, or did they, what changed that now they're realizing, oh, no, crime actually is up? I don't know the answer to that. Next one, robot vacuums hurl racist slurs at owners.
This is a tough one. Real?
I think I'm going to go B.
Annie is correct. This is real.
It's too weird to be not real.
Exactly. Like, it's too specific. In a recent tech fail, robot vacuum owners across the U.S. reported
that
the devices had been hacked, causing their trusty cleaning bots to yell out racial slurs and chase their pets. A security flaw in the Chinese-made EcoVax DeepBot X2
Careful.
Is being blamed. It's just the name of it. Blamed for the hacks. These vacuums are pretty popular, which means the chaos is widespread. A Minnesota lawmaker...
Have you heard of these vacuums? I've never heard of this vacuum.
They look a lot like Roombas. I think they're similar.
I'm not fancy enough to have that kind of a vacuum in my house.
Yeah, a Minnesota lawmaker found that this was happening to him when a voice started booming through his little vacuum robot, yelling the F word over and over again.
Oh, no.
Swanson realized it had been hacked, turned it off, and threw it in the trash. That's hey, just keep an eye on
Did
your
you
Roomba.
Make him finish the job yeah. before it was done.
Yeah, so there you go. One more real quick. Sure. Experts say Kamala can still win if she doesn't appear in public again between now and Election Day.
Oh, man. Have you noticed people are like, Donald Trump is canceling interviews, blah, 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 acting like somehow or another Donald Trump is all of a sudden scared to be in front of the camera?
Right.
Dude, he's going from one thing to the next so fast, it's hard to keep up. Not to mention the fact his life is being threatened right now by Iran. So him just showing up in place A, B, and C, it's not as simple as, I don't know, Kamala Harris to do it. She even wanted to be on Fox News. What do you think scared right now? Let's take your phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797. Is Donald Trump funny? Call us. We'll talk to you next.